Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Barbecue. The band was jumping. The people too. Ah, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around.
All right. We're back. We're very much back because, guys, Ken Jack is back. This is real dumb. One of the many we've done. Don't even know the numbers anymore. We're past that point. Ken Jack, welcome back.
Hello, everybody. It me. I live, bitch.
I think actually the sickest part about you being sick was that you had to go see Daddy's Home 2, and it didn't even matter because you weren't on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys peer pressured me going into seeing the movie while sick with the contagion. And so I probably infected an entire theater with my contagion and made them all sick, and now they're all going to associate Daddy's Home 2 with getting the sickness of a lifetime. To give a quick thoughts on Daddy's Home, just because I wasn't able to before, it was more pleasant than I thought it would be, but it was still really uncomfortable because it was just Mel Gibson playing Mel Gibson, which no one wants.
Remember, you gave it like a 27 too.
Hey, I got like a solid five, six laughs out of it. I think it's one of those movies that I think Trill brought this up once. Like, you could get the entire gist of it by watching its YouTube highlight reel. Like it's 7 minute YouTube highlight reel.
Yeah, like one of those videos with the soothing music at the end that like asks you to click on one of the other videos.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm talking about like Cinefux HD, like on YouTube.
Honestly, the trailer alone was enough to know what happened in Daddy's Home 3. Like, I mean, you talk about a movie with zero surprises. Like, not one thing in that movie caught me off guard at all. Everything was totally expected.
The trailer was so confusing for Daddy's Home 2 because I didn't know who was whose grandfather. And then, because I didn't see Daddy's Home 1, and then when Randy Orton pulled up, or not Randy Orton, but John Cena pulled up in the trailer, I was like, who does he even play? So the movie actually clarified it for me.
Oh, speaking of professional wrestlers, didn't we get a pretty decent bump from one?
We did. The Rock tweeted us last night.
Whose tweet was it? Like, Jeff, was that you or Ken Jack?
That's Jeff.
Was that Jeff?
I meant to tweet this weeks ago when we were talking about The Rock, but I was watching Red Letter Media was reviewing Justice League. Somebody tweeted us we should have them on. I'd love to have those guys on one day. They're absolutely hilarious. But they talked about The Rock in Star Trek. And I'm like, oh, shit, I have this clip. And I found it back in my phone and I tweeted it out. And then sure enough, 20 minutes later, The Rock quote tweeted it with like a really long explanation about it and how ridiculous he looked. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's a funny thing to go back and watch.
It felt like it was actually The Rock too, and not just like Rock Intern 6.
Yeah. Like, I feel like those were definitely very personal comments. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel like that. I feel like most of his tweets with "this is the Rampage trailer" come from Rock Intern 6, like one of the 20 people manning a social media presence. But he used an emoji in this one, and you can't fake an emoji.
No, and like, he's a friend of the pod now. He's technically a friend of the pod, meaning he's now a friend of you, Trill, which you are a big fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I feel like we're small enough for someone to take a chance and come on the show just to show support for this, the independent podcasting community.
We're a very pro The Rock podcast, too. We don't ever say anything. Even the movies of his that are like, uh-oh, like, this seems a little crazy. No, we're buttering all the time because The Rock can just do that.
The worst thing we said about The Rock is The Rock hasn't been in really good movies lately, but we're still going to see everything he's in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Pikachu detective movie.
Well, we'll get to that one. Pikachu's a topic we're going to get to. So quickly,
Pikachu,
before we get into
Ash, I will always love you, Ash. What the fuck?
Who would have thought in 2017 you could do a Pikachu impression where you speak English and it would be dead on? Just crazy shit. Quickly, we do have to get to something. We talked about Real Dump last week and if we would continue doing them. I think we're leaning to not do them. We want to do them. However, I think most people are aware by now, all three of us have real jobs and there's not a lot of record time throughout the weeks. And we want to do more things. Like, we have an interview coming up that we can't record on our normal night. So we'll have to do it on a Sunday. We don't want to keep like canceling these. So I think we're leaning to not doing them, but we're still going to pump out more content. So this means we're going to do more things like, you know, reviewing smaller movies, you know, maybe putting them on YouTube. We're going to try to expand and have more content throughout the week. that we record on Sundays and, you know, in the time that we would be editing, as opposed to kind of taking up all of our time that we have by just doing two of these. So, look, we're still going to do heavier podcasts in the middle of the week. That's not going to go away, obviously. They'll be longer. They'll be extended. But I think this Sunday format we're going to get rid of. And then if we do have big news, we'll record something on a Sunday or maybe find another time in the week to do that. So it frees up some stuff. Sorry if we're letting you down, because I think everybody replied saying they want to keep Real Dump. But trust me, we're going to have some news in the near future. Not like big news. Like, you know, we didn't get, like, we're still unaffiliated. Don't worry. But about, you know, being able to do more with the website. We're going to relaunch that in January. So, you know, maybe some YouTube videos, YouTube reviews of every movie we see and some news. So it'll be more content. It'll just be easier for us to make as opposed to taking up our Sunday record time with Real Dump. So just a little future note on that. And let us know. Tweet us what you would want to see in place of Real Dump in terms of, like, you know, reviews on YouTube of these different movies, shorter, like, mini pods that drop that are just reviews. You know, if they're on YouTube, we can make them into pods and put up on iTunes as well. Like, if the Rian Johnson news had come out, we do maybe something on that. So just let us know what else you'd want to see. Because we're still going to produce content, just kind of in a different route here, because we do have a lot of changes coming up in the future. Also, Black Friday coming up. We're going to have some new shirts. I can't tease them yet because we haven't finished the designs. Jimmy has some designs he's going to pump out, but we have some pretty good ones. So maybe ugly Christmas sweater type ideas, maybe some Star Wars tie-ins, maybe some P.T. Barnum. So
wow,
you're going to want to buy some shirts.
Ugly sweater would be really relevant to the current holiday season. That's good timing, yeah. I gotta say.
Yeah. There, I will say there has been talk of a Goss Claus shirt. Ryan Gosling with a Santa shirt. I'm just saying.
If we can, the Real Dump, you know, maybe we transition some stuff to the Hot Corner on Sunday nights. I'm just trying to.
Hot Corner's got
to
come back.
I'm thinking about doing it tonight. I always say I'm going to do stuff, and then I just get lazy.
Okay, now into some movie news. The real reason you're here. Incredibles 2. Ken, Jack, I mean, you are through the fucking roof lit up about this movie, I assume. It's the only DVD you own, The Incredibles. Will The Incredibles 2 be the second DVD you own? And did you like the teaser trailer?
I'm probably going to buy the Blu-ray because it's 2017. But I think that it will probably be the only Blu-ray I own other than the Star Wars the Star Wars trilogies, which I also have. I think the trailer was cool. I wish it was more of an actual trailer and less of a teaser, which was kind of lame. Like, Disney's like, yeah, new trailer, come look. And it was like 30 seconds long. And I'm like, I want more. Give me more. Like, that's the whole reason I want to watch this. Just give me more action, more Jack-Jack, more Dash, more everybody. Give me everything. I wanted it injected straight into my veins. Like coding almost, except.
Oh my God. Peter, please be okay, Ken Jack. I worry about you now.
No, but I was excited about it. I think it looks really cool. Just wish there was more to it than what we got.
You know what? I'm going to come out and say this. I'm not a big Jack guy. He's like the Mater character of the Incredibles franchise. Like, the normies love him. He's like, oh, he's a cute little baby. It's like the uncultured Pixar fans love Jack because he's cute and he's a baby. But if you're refined and sophisticated and more of an Incredibles connoisseur, you want to know more about the relationship between Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl. I think that's where the real intrigue lays. So I know it's a teaser. That's fine. It got me hyped. The thing I cannot believe is I can't believe it's been 13 years since Incredibles. I feel like I just saw it yesterday. It's such a great movie, and I can't wait for the second one. And Brad Bird is a genius, so I know it's in good hands. I'm going to butter this. I don't care. They could announce that Ansel Elgort's voicing Jack. I'm still going to go see this thing. I'm still going to probably download it and watch it 5 times. Don't care.
It picks up where the last one left off. So it's the villain, the Underminer, by John Ratzenberger, who is obviously from Cheers. He's in every single Pixar movie. He always has like a voice or something, but he's going to be that character. Also cast in the movie is Bob Odenkirk, Catherine Keener, and Jenny Slate. So I don't know what Bob Odenkirk's role is going to be there, but I'm a big Bob Odenkirk fan. This comes out June in 2018, so next year. And yeah, it picks up where it left off, which is weird because, like you said, it's 13 years, but it didn't jump in time. We're like Toy Story 3 jumped in a lot of time since Toy Story 2. Obviously, Andy went to college, so this route here, they're like, whatever, let's pick it up where it left off.
I don't understand anything about the machinations of voice actors, so I really don't know how, if they're going to be able to get the same actors that did Dash and Violet to do the same voices, because they're obviously assuming grow up and all that.
So, not to really pull the curtain back here too much and freak you out, but The voice of Violet's like 50 years old.
Oh, shit.
I'm not even kidding. She's 47. Sarah Vowell. So she was like in adulthood when this movie came out. They did replace the Dash character, though.
Oh, okay.
It's a new kid.
It was Jonathan Taylor Thomas. That's how long ago the movie came out. JTT was still like 14. It's wild.
The voice of Dash is now 24, and they have a new kid, Huck Milner. I think, yeah, Huck Milner is his name. So he will be in that role. Then everyone else, Holly Hunter.
It's an SEC.
Don't forget, she started Big Sick. And then Craig T. Nelson, who was on College Game Day yesterday. And then Sarah Vowell returns as Violet Parr, Samuel Jackson, et cetera.
They're making Craig T. Nelson start the promo cycle a year early, man. It's like he's been happy, and they're like, you got to come out of the cabin, Craig, and promote this movie, and you got to go to Minnesota and do a coach tie-in. It's like, well,
is that the most closely resembled connection to him being at a Wisconsin game was the coach tie-in? Because otherwise it was just the fact they forced him on there to debut the trailer. Because that's when the trailer debuted during game day. I think the only tie-in, besides the fact he was in a show called Coach, is just the fact that they had the Incredibles. Because he has no tie-in to Wisconsin at all.
Who did Wisconsin play?
They played Michigan. He's from like Spokane, Washington, and went to college somewhere else.
Yeah, the only tie-in I can think of is in the TV show Coach. He played the Minnesota State coach, which is like, I think, a fictional. Or maybe at the time, I think it was a fictional school, and I think a school is actually called Minnesota State now. Yeah, they kind of horseshoed that one in. I mean, you got to love the mouse. They'll get it done. The mouse will find a synergy to promote whatever it wants to promote. It's a well-oiled machine.
It's so strange now, and we weren't going to talk about Star Wars this episode, but here it is, shoehorning its way in. 20 years ago, Star Wars was, you know, I mean, it's definitely changed in terms of like cultural acceptance. It's not being just a thing for nerds. Like now it's like a pop culture thing that I feel like most people want to be involved with, but it went from like being a nerdy thing to now it's like synonymous with Monday Night Football. Like you think Star Wars and football now for like trailer releases. It's very strange, but that's what they did for The Incredibles. The Incredibles in Game Day was a bit of an odd choice, but it worked because people seemed very excited. We tweeted it yesterday and people were very amped up about it, which leads me to my kind of last thought here. It's like, what took so long? I mean, they're pumping out Cars sequels like it's, you know, like it's their job, and nobody likes those movies besides kids just for the toy aspect.
They make so much money, though. Accepted.
Yeah, that is true. They do make a lot of money. And the
merchandising is merchandise, yeah.
I don't give a fuck if they're going to make 5,000 Cars movies because they're all going to suck ass. But I'd rather them wait 13 years to make an Incredibles sequel as long as it's as good as the first one.
I'm excited for it. I think everybody is. I mean, the Incredibles, it's tough to say it's overlooked because it seems like so many people love it. But it still seems a little overlooked in the Pixar lore.
It doesn't fit in as well as the other movies in the Pixar lore for some reason. I don't know why that is. I mean, it definitely feels like a Pixar film, but it feels less like a Pixar film than the other ones. And I don't know if that's because it's like superheroes and, you know, the other Pixar movies are like talking toys, talking cars, talking brain cells, talking feelings, talking dinosaurs, talking rat, talking like just things that shouldn't be talking are talking. And that's the Pixar movie. And then The Incredibles was actual humans, which I think at the time was kind of cool. You only really seen that in a little bit with Andy and Monsters, Inc. I really think the holdup was Brad Bird. He's a creative genius, and I can see him like not wanting to churn those things out or being in negotiations. He did something really cool a few years ago. He was involved with something pretty neat. I forget what it was. But most folks know him from The Iron Giant. And that's a phenomenal movie.
Well, he's directed three of the better animated films ever. Iron Giant, Incredibles, and Ratatouille. He also directed Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
And that was pretty good.
Yeah, I love Ghost Protocol.
Ghost GP was good, man.
He has one bad mark on his resume, and he did the Tomorrowland movie. Mm-hmm. Tomorrowland with George Clooney about the Disney theme park. And that movie was one of the biggest flops in Disney history.
Right next to John Carter.
That's a good rival, John Carter and Tomorrowland. But Brad Bird dropped out of doing The Force Awakens to do Tomorrowland.
I would have actually. It would have been fascinating to see his take on Star Wars.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's another one of the many directors who have been tied to Star Wars and no longer were there. But Incredibles 2, I'm not even going to ask the question. We're all buttering big time on this one. It just sucks. It's so long away now. So we're all buttering Incredibles 2. Very excited. And that comes out again in June 2018. So that's not the next Pixar movie. The next Pixar movie is Coco, which we're reviewing in 2 weeks when we do also a best Disney/Pixar movie rankings. That'll be a big one. There'll be some hot takes in that one, I think. We have a guest on for that. Some people have guessed who the guest is.
So huge movie guy here. Huge movie guy on the movie podcast, talking movies. Know a lot about movies. But I did know that Coco's been out in Mexico for a month now. I did not know that.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that either.
It's got rave reviews, too.
And it's got rave reviews, and I think it's going to be the highest grossing movie in Mexico in its entire history. It's like headed there.
Really?
Something like that.
It's at a 97% of Rotten Tomatoes. But yeah, if you pick Coco in the Fantasy Movie League, which will actually, I'll save the Fantasy Movie League talk, because we have some Fantasy Movie League talk coming up soon. But yeah, Coco, it's... The reviews are great. The only negatives that people say is that it's too much like the movie Book of Life, which is very, very similar, an animated movie about like the Day of the Dead and music. And so people think it's a bit of a ripoff. However, Coco was in production before that movie is what some people are clapping back with.
The Day of the Dead is kind of unexplored cinematic territory for major mainstream releases. So a lot of times studios will get parallel thought going and release two movies. Remember, there was they released a bunch of disaster movies that were very similar at the same time, and then you had like Olympus Has Fallen and
White House Down
at the same time. And there's no way they could have ripped those off because they came out at the same time.
So we got to go into a movie we're going to review on the main podcast this week, Justice League. I enjoyed it. I gave it an 83 out of 100. I think that might have been a little higher than I probably should have given it because it has issues, and we don't want to get too far into it. It has a lot of issues, but it's a fucking blast, man. Like, it's a good time. Trill, you're seeing it today, Sunday.
Yes, at noon. I'm excited.
Kenjack, you're seeing it tomorrow?
Yeah, probably.
I think Kenjack is going to hate it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It has a lot of the qualities of movies that you dislike.
Oh, great. I'm a notoriously open-minded person, so I'm looking forward to this one.
You do look a lot like Henry Cavill, though, which is crazy, especially with the mustache. Mustache Henry Cavill. I will say this, and again, I said I wouldn't get into it, but I have to get into this a little bit. Somebody told me that I watched a YouTube review, so that's totally two different things, but I watched a YouTube review where somebody said the Justice League CGI-ing out of the Henry Cavill mustache is not obvious. That shit is so obvious. It's like you can tell every scene that Joss Whedon redirected and reshot because you can tell where the CGI mustache is or the CGI upper lip.
The pictures I've seen so far are just ridiculous. And
it's insane.
There's one where Henry Cavill was like kind of smiling, and I didn't know if it was because the CGI was so bad or because he was just smiling, which you never really get out of Superman. So I'm really excited to see it. I think Jeff's going to like it the most. I think I'm going to be in the middle, and I think Kenjack's not going to like it. Just I don't think Kenjack likes DC at all. I think it's hard for him.
It sucks, man, because like I want to like DC. I like those heroes, and they've all sucked so bad, except for like Wonder Woman is the lone exception, and it's the best out of all the shitty ones, which is it's just good by comparison of all the rest of them being so bad.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to review this because I think there's a lot that we can get into. This is going to be one of the more complex reviews because there are so many things to talk about, so many little details. So again, Trill seeing it today will release his rating when he mentions it. So I think by this point, you all have seen it, the rating already on our Twitter at Lights Camera Pod. And then Ken Jack will see it tomorrow on Monday.
I'm getting a popcorn today, fellas. I'm going to treat myself. I'm getting a medium popcorn and a large soft drink. And they got the Coke freestyle machines at the cinema. What I might do? I might get a diet root beer. I might fuck around and get a diet root beer.
Get a diet cherry root beer.
Sounds disgusting.
And then I'll put you down like a sick dog.
That's one thing I hate about the Coke freestyle machines is like, okay, Coke Zero. Yeah, I want a Coke Zero. And then you go to another screen where it's like Coke Zero Raspberry. It's like, who's ever picked Coke Zero Raspberry? Nobody.
Coke Zero Pineapple. Drink me, please. My family is dying.
Those machines are great because they can track those flavors and flavor combinations people are using in real time because I think they're all like connected to Wi-Fi. I'd love to see how many people are getting like Coke Zero asparagus. Dasani cucumber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen like somebody use a Coke freestyle machine who's not good at using a Coke freestyle machine?
Yeah.
It's the most infuriating thing. I almost feel like we need like, you know how there used to be like elevator attendants to press the button? I feel like we need that for like Coke freestyle and like peak times.
No, it needs to be like the people in the supermarket that show people how to use the self-checkout machines because they don't know how to use them. You need like those attendants just sitting there like, okay, you press the button of the flavor you want in like the big bold logo, you big dumb fucking baby.
Dude, the best feeling in the world is when you're waiting in line for the self-checkout and you finally get a kiosk and there's like three that have been taken the entire time you're in line and only one has been moving and you get in and get out before anybody else has finished checking out. And you're just looking at them like, you big morons, you big dumb baby idiots. It's just self-checkout. It's self-checkout. And then you get into a car accident on the way home because you're thinking you're so mad at people at Target. All right. I'm sorry. I derailed it. We should probably.
Hi. Hi, dog.
Okay. So Ben Affleck. He's Batman. He's in Justice League. He got in trouble. He stole a prop from the Justice League set and they billed him for it. a batarang, so like one of those Batman boomerangs, which have been in the series and franchises forever. So my question to you is, and for our listeners and followers, please tweet us. We'll probably call out for this. If you could have any movie prop, what would it be?
I think I'd want a Hanzo Hattori sword from Kill Bill, or like the Hanzo Hattori sword. I think that'd be pretty cool. It's probably just like a random katana they pulled from the back lot, but it'd still be cool to like say it's a Hanzo Hattori. You're like, see that over there? It's a Hanzo Hattori. And they're like, isn't that a fictional character? I'm like, shut up, mom.
You went very small with your choice. I'm going to send you guys my choice. But my first choice would have been a full-scale model of the Millennium Falcon, but I feel like that wouldn't work.
Where would you keep that?
That's the problem.
You got to be realistic here.
You had to pay money to warehouse it. You'd be paying like $1,200 a month to keep it.
I understand the technical issues with it, Trill. I'm saying in a hypothetical world where I can steal any prop, I'm stealing the full-scale model of Millennium Falcon. But in lieu of that, I want to steal Tom Cruise's giant fake ass from Valkyrie that he used. Because I could use it as a booster seat. I could put it on my toilet instead of like the little cushion thing. You can use it for almost anything. It's like it's a Swiss Army knife, if you will, of derrieres.
That's pretty good.
I sent it to you guys for reference.
The fake ass that Tom Cruise wore.
I like how you're like, you guys went small on your props and you're like, I want a fake ass.
Well, a giant fake ass. Like, have you seen the picture? Have you seen the picture before?
It's one of the best things ever.
Oh man, I would have to probably take the hoverboard from Back to the Future. It looks like, you know, real enough. It's pretty badass. I thought the same thing with the DeLorean, but I live in New York. I'm not gonna be able to park the DeLorean anywhere. I'm not gonna pay for that parking spot here.
I'm just so sad. I'm at a point in my life where I'm thinking about the like practical logistics of owning something as badass as a Millennium Falcon or DeLorean. It's like you're telling me it's like you could have any movie prop. And it's like, well, you know, I might pick the DeLorean, but then I'd have to worry about insurance and time. So, like, I'll take a fucking sword. You know what I think would be fucking badass is one of the Ninja Turtle costumes from the original TMNT.
That'd be sick. That would be sick. Just have it, like, in the corner in your living room or some shit.
Fucking Ninja Turtle already, Trill. Y'all know you want to.
They didn't make a wrestling buddy like a Ninja Turtle, so I didn't have that opportunity.
We're going to go on your computer one day and just see like terabytes of Ninja Turtle porn.
Turtle Ninja Brother walks in on brother MC4.
So tweet at us and let us know what movie prop you would steal. Any movie prop you could have. But be realistic here, like Ken Jack, you know, like the Millennium Falcon. Like, where are you going to put that shit?
What would be the best costume? Like, what costume would you take?
I would pick something like Austin Powers or something very recognizable.
I would love like the Joker coat from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, because that'd be pretty, like the whole ensemble, if you just wore that around, people would think you're like legitimately like twisted.
Some interesting news about Justice League that is insane, though only a little insane, because when I looked at pre-ticket sales, I could get a seat anywhere. And you look at things like sometimes like the Avengers and Star Wars. When it's pre-ticket sales, it's hard to get seats if you don't buy it on the first day. And this may have to do with the stigma that I think critics have created for DC. And we'll get more into the critical review. I'll stop myself here because I do think some critics pre-rated Justice League before they saw it. Like, some of the reviews are so scathing, I don't think they saw the movie. Regardless, Justice League may not cross the $100 million mark on the opening weekend. That's kind of insane.
That's bad. That's real bad. I thought Justice League was going to make way more money than just $100 million on opening weekend. I don't know how much movies usually take on opening weekend. What's normal for a movie like this? But
for a comparison, because this is the best comparison, the first Avengers made $207 million on their opening weekend.
And you got to go back to the marketing and wondering if like they made the right choice with Superman, like hiding him from everything.
I don't know. Was it even like, are people that hyped up about Superman? You think that would have been a huge selling point?
Yeah, he's like the Mickey Mouse of the DC universe.
Now, people are hyped up about Superman. I mean, the applause in my theater with anything they showed Superman-wise was huge, even flashbacks. So
I'm not like crazy surprised or anything. I just wish I don't know how the licensing agreement sort of works. I kind of wish they would just sell DC to Marvel and let them fix this franchise.
Well, there were talks at one point that Disney would buy DC, but I mean, that's far gone at this point.
Disney is 785% going to buy DC at some point in the next 10 years. It just
fix it.
Well, yeah, but by then, like all the characters will be ruined, and like Batman will be played by Toby Jones. Like he'll be the only one. He'll be the only one willing to take the role.
Yeah, Wonder Woman made $103 million on their opening weekend, and that was against the stigma too, because there have been no good DC movies up to that point. Well, in terms of consensus, some people do like. I will punt on that. There are some fans who love the Zack Snyder DC movies, but Wonder Woman made $103 million on opening weekend, and it was a success. It's a great movie, despite a lot of bad hype about it. I think it should make more money. Again, I liked it, so that's probably a little biased in that sense. But I will say this, tied into Fantasy Movie League, if you pick Justice League, it's over for you. You're not winning at this point. Like there's no way you're going to win.
Yeah, guess who didn't pick it, I don't think. I don't even remember.
You did. You picked. Ken Jack picked Justice League.
Fucking idiot.
Ken Jack, you fell down 100 spots in the standings because of it, too.
At this point, are they going to make the decision to recast? I mean, I would recast everyone who's not Wonder Woman at this point, because Affleck doesn't seem like he even wants to do it anymore.
I think fan reception's too good. I think they have to keep going with it.
Really? So it's kind of like in this weird point where it just doesn't do as well as they want it to do, but it does better than what they've been doing in the past. So
I guess we'll save it for the main pod, but you will like, even if you dislike the movie, you'll like, I think, Aquaman. You'll like The Flash.
It's like everyone's relationship when they're like 24, 25. Everyone's in this like 1 year, 2 year relationship where like things aren't exactly where you want it to be, but things aren't bad enough to have a legit reason to cancel the relationship yet. So you're stuck in it. And that's what DC's like, whoever's making these movies are just stuck in this like abysmal Henry Cavill casting decision. I don't like him as Superman. Bring back what's his face? Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh. Oh.
I think he's stuck in a cave somewhere. Like they just have him chained on all fours, like just stuck in a fucking pit.
No, I think your opinion may change on that with Superman.
What about Armie Hammer? He could do Superman.
He seems like a guy who's played Superman. We just don't know it. Like he's,
you know, I think it's bullshit that Brits, like whenever you mention an American James Bond having an English accent, get so upset and like James Bond needs to be English. But Superman, who's like America's James Bond, gets to be played by British guys. No problem. It's bullshit.
It's a good point.
We don't slander Henry Cavill on this podcast.
Nothing against Henry Cavill. But everything against him is Superman because I don't think the experiment's working.
Man of Steel is a good movie. I don't care what you say.
Michael Keaton should play Superman.
Oh, you fuck.
So quickly want to run down the top three in the Fantasy Movie League. Big Hutch is still leading. And I'm sorry, Big Hutch, we kind of made fun of you last week because most of your movies are already out. So I'm not sure how long you're going to last. Just Tweet Pete is in second place, off by like 400 mil or 400,000. And then at Mighty Rubber is in third.
So, I like that name.
So you guys get those three shout outs there. Some of these movies that we have on our list, it's going to be a crawl to make a lot of money. And I still think that people who pick Thor have a chance to overtake the Star Wars crowd. If we had made Star Wars, okay, I'm just saying there's a chance. If we had made Star Wars worth a little more and you had to pick the one pointers to round it out, there would have definitely been a chance. I think we may have messed up there. Regardless, some movies that people pick, like Last Flag Flying, it's not in a lot of theaters yet, and it may not end up being in a lot of theaters. It has like $289,000. Lady Bird only just crossed $2 million. That's going to get a little wider release. LBJ is at like $2.2 million. Daddy's Home 2 has made $36 million. A Bad Mom's Christmas, $62 million. And Murder on the Orient Express has made $106 million. But you still think that Star Wars people are going to easily win this one, right, Drew?
I think our original point value is probably more in line than when we reduced it. The dollars per points is just like way too high. I feel like the person who wins is going to have Star Wars in their five or four if you're Ken Jack.
Actually, now Daddy's Home 2 is at $51 million. So.
Damn, pretty good. People.
So there's your update on Fantasy Movie League. Again, Justice League may not cross the $100 million mark on opening weekend, which would be a failure no matter which way you look at it, which is, again, for me, someone who liked it disappointing, but we'll see what Ken, Jack, and Trill both think of it. That's your Fantasy Movie League update. We'll keep doing these as more movies come out, as we have a lot coming out in the next few weeks. Moving on to a movie genre we haven't really talked about on here, I don't think. Harry Potter. I consider that a genre of its own, you know, because it's so distinct. Fantastic Beasts. The sequel, Crimes of Grindelwald. Grindelwald is the villain played by Johnny Depp. Many people not happy that he's prominently featured in this movie.
Wonder why.
And Jude Law is another casting that caused some buzz. He will play Dumbledore. I guess that's my main question here, because Johnny Depp, we don't want to get too into the weeds on that one. But Jude Law playing Dumbledore. And the picture of him as Dumbledore looks like just Jude Law with a beard. Because I guess it is pretty early in the timeline here compared to Harry Potter, so he's not going to look all old and round with a big beard. But what do we think about Jude Law as Dumbledore?
Ken Jack, I'm not a Harry Potter guy. I really don't have an opinion.
You have everything I want to say about these fucking Ninja Turtles, and then when it comes to an actually good franchise like Harry Potter, you just got fucking socks in your mouth.
I think Harry Potter's
so fine. Shut up and stick.
Oh, damn, damn, that hurts, man. All right, you have the floor. Give us your Harry Potter take, wizard-ass nerd.
I like Jude Law as Dumbledore. I think it's cool because they're going to have him be like the young Pope, except it's the young Dumbledore. So it's going to be like, what if young Dumbledore blasted cigs and drank Cherry Coke Zero and was very minimalistic and had cool fashion? And I'm all in on that. So I don't know. The casting so far is top to bottom really cool, with the exception of Johnny Depp, which I'm sure will either... I don't know how deep into production they are right now, but he'll probably either get replaced or, I don't know, with Mel Gibson getting as far as he did with Daddy's Home. So who knows? But I think he should.
Yeah, they're pretty far down the road with this one. So I think Johnny Depp he's here to stay.
Yeah, that's going to cause some problems, I'm sure. But it's whatever. If that is what it is, then whatever. But I think it's going to be pretty good. And I'm sort of excited. I think the first one was pretty good. It didn't get as much love as it deserved.
Jude Law, and he kind of looks like young Tom Hanks in Castaway. if he was playing like a Castaway prequel where wait, this doesn't work at all. Never mind.
A young Castaway prequel where he's just doing his job and living his life.
Yeah, but he goes to the island like in his 40s and then forgets all about it. Look, all right, we'll cut that part. We'll leave it in, but we'll make fun of me for it. So okay. Harry Potter sucks.
Did you like Fantastic Beasts, Trill? I wasn't a huge fan. I thought Newt Scamander or whatever, played by Eddie Redmayne, was just weird.
I liked it.
That's part of the role, though.
He was a weirdo. It kind of bothered me. I don't know. Maybe I just don't know enough about Harry Potter.
Here's the benefit I have. I'm a little too old for Harry Potter. If I were 5 years younger, I would have been right in that Harry Potter age demographic, having the books and reading them growing up. But I've seen all the movies, and I've seen Fantastic Beasts, and I love them. I think that gives me the benefit of not really like nitpicking anything or caring that much about like what happens in the universe. I just kind of get to enjoy them for what they are, which is fun little wizardry romps around this quaint little universe. This quaint little wizarding universe that we've built here. Is that right?
So Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Jude Law is Dumbledore. It's just a little jarring to see, because I can't look at that and think Dumbledore at the same time. But I guess it's so early on in the timeline. I guess it makes sense.
What did you think when they replaced what's his name with Michael Gambon?
More like Dumble Snore. It's just
when Dumbledore died and then they have a new Dumbledore?
Yeah. Were you like, I can't handle this, and never watch them again?
No, it didn't ruin it for me. I thought they did a pretty good job.
What's the guy's name? Seemed... Richard. Who played the original Dumbledore? It was Richard something.
Richard Gere.
Yes. I don't remember. Sorry. It's the dude from Gladiator.
Richard Hard.
Yes. Hard. Sorry. Go ahead.
So moving on from the Harry Potter universe back to the DC universe.
Boo.
We could have just kept this after the Justice League thing, but we didn't want to make it seem like it's an all Justice League pot. We don't know if Ben Affleck is going to keep playing Batman. This is one of the weirdest continuing rumors. Like, they just can't figure this one out, if he's going to stay on as Batman. The rumored person that Matt Reeves, the Batman director, has in mind apparently is Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm fine with that, I guess. But who would you guys want as... Oh, okay. So Ken Jack says no. Who would you want as the Batman if it's not Affleck? Who I continue to want to play Batman. I do like his portrayal of the Batman. And Bruce Wayne. I think he's a great Bruce Wayne as well. So who would be your pick? Ken Jack, we'll start with you since you're very against Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm against Jake Gyllenhaal because I love Jake Gyllenhaal and I don't want him attached to DC in any way, shape, or form. So I don't want him near the franchise. And it's, again, so to be clear, it's not a strike against Gyllenhaal, it's a strike against DC and what they've been able to do with this franchise and all their movies so far. I don't know who I'd want involved with DC movies at all. Like, because I don't want anybody I actually enjoy, but I would want somebody who could do a good job. The only person I could think of when we put up this question before was Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Do you know him?
Yeah, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan is going to play Bruce Wayne's father, played Thomas Wayne. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan in the Flashpoint universe, I believe, is going to play the Thomas Wayne Batman. Because Flashpoint is like that alternate universe. And that's where Bruce Wayne dies with his mom and Thomas Wayne survives and Thomas Wayne becomes Batman. I may be wrong. Please, if you're a DC fan, correct me if I'm wrong. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan is going to apparently have a chance to play a version of Batman. It's just, it's not the Bruce Wayne Batman.
I was going to say, because I was watching Watchmen last night, and he's not a terrible superhero. I don't know. I think he'd be kind of a cool Bruce Wayne. Or I guess whatever, Thomas Wayne, whatever, bullshit. DC, fuck you. But yeah, I think that would be one actor where, like, I think he's cool, and I wouldn't mind him being, like, sunk with the Titanic of DC.
You know what I would really like? I'm just going to throw this out there. Okay, I got all this good Batman source material where, like, Batman's older. I think Josh Brolin, like, as kind of like an older Batman, like doing one last like battle against the Joker would be pretty good.
That would be. I could see him as a good old Batman, like an old man Batman.
Why do you want your good actors to be attached to these shitty movies?
Well, I mean, if someone's going to get recast, I'd rather be somebody I enjoy. I like Batman. I love good Batman movies.
They need to do a movie based off the Killing Joke, the comic pretty much focused on the Joker. I think that would be like pretty good.
They really need a good Batman movie in this DC universe. And somebody I saw on Twitter mention it. I'm not going to credit the right person. I forget who it was, but somebody really went in on the DC Justice League thing and said that part of the problem with Justice League is that, well, one, they said they're too sexist to let Wonder Woman lead the team. And also that in the comics, Batman really isn't the guy who leads and brings the team together. And they said the problem is Batman, they're trying to make Batman too much like Tony Stark. And that's just not what he is. And I can, despite not reading the comments, I can agree with that. They said he's usually the more paranoid one.
Like the reluctant to get involved or...
I really wish I knew who tweeted this because I would love to give him credit. Their chain on Justice League is pretty spot on. But I would agree. I think they really are trying to make him very much like Tony Stark.
I don't know who you'd put as Batman for like a younger actor doing a series of like 3 to 5 movies.
Many people tweeted us the Goss God. Would you let the Goss God... Would you let him as if we could control his life? Would you like the Goss God as Batman?
Not really. I'd rather have Jake Gyllenhaal than Gosling. Just because I'd rather see Ryan Gosling in something else. Jake Gyllenhaal has already done like the stupid like Prince of Persia action Assassin's Creed. Wait, no, that wasn't him.
That was Fassbender.
What did he do?
He did Prince of Persia.
Jake Gyllenhaal did Prince of Persia. So he's already done the crappy action movie. So I think Superman's not like outside of his purview. But look, it's hard to get excited about anything Batman anymore. The Nolan movies were kind of a gift and a curse because you got to wonder if that's as good as like a Batman on movie can actually get. Not to be like, you know, to hype him up too much, but.
Oh, you know who the person tweeted it was the guy we referenced last week who tweeted the Pikachu video? Broderick, @Broderick. Ryan Broderick on Twitter. He has a really good chain. We'll shout him out again.
We should invite him on the podcast because he sounds like he knows more about movies than me. Maybe you should just have...
Well, he has a really good base of comic knowledge, it seems. He says that Batman is supposed to be more like Wolverine is with the X-Men, dangerously paranoid of the whole thing, and not like Tony Stark's reluctant leader, rich man role. So, which I, again, I'm not reading the comics. I can totally see that. I could see that making more sense.
It feels like their whole marketing spiel just was incomplete and not well thought out. Like it was piecemeal together.
All it's one like of the biggest piecemeal movies I've ever seen. I mean, everything is so piece. I mean, literally the trailers have so many differences in them. I mean, it was a mess. And obviously there's reasons for that. And they're not, you know, just out of incompetence. Some of it's out of just, you know, just awful stories. If I, obviously what happened to Zack Snyder's daughter and why he got pulled off the movie, but it is insane. I mean, the inconsistencies are crazy and it's unfortunate. Like that's the thing. I've had people tell me like, oh, you just hate DC. Do you just hate DC because of the whole Marvel bias? I would love if these DC characters had consistent good movies. Why would I not want more good cinema?
Exactly.
I love talking about bad movies and it's funny and it's a good time, but I far more prefer seeing good movies, especially of characters that I enjoy. So I hope they fix it. And I do think to an extent Justice League does that, but again, I keep saying we'll talk about it more next week, but we will in the main pod this week because I think a lot of the critics tank this movie, I think, based off of preconceived conceptions going into the movie. Some of it's fair, but some of it, I don't know if they actually saw the movie or not. Like some of it's a little insane. So closing thoughts, you're forced to pick a Batman. Who would it be? I'm going to have to roll with Jake Gyllenhaal because I'm a big Gyllenhaal man.
My Josh Brolin pick isn't really realistic.
It's like more, that.
It's more like story-based, dude, and it would be like for one movie. Yeah, you know, I like Gyllenhaal too, just because I think he's at that point in his career where he could pull off Batman, gain some pounds, kind of like Bale did for the role. I don't hate it. I don't want to pick someone who's like a really good actor and then have them like tarnish their career with a crappy Batman movie. Because I didn't think Affleck would be good as Batman, and he's pretty good as Batman. So, I mean, I'm more to the point where I think anyone could probably play Batman. Yeah. I could probably play Batman. I'd be the fattest Batman.
I don't know who I'd want because, again, I don't want anyone I actually enjoy on it, but I would want the role to still be enjoyable. I don't know. Make Matt Damon Batman.
I actually think Matt Damon would probably do a good job. I think we like complain about Matt Damon being Batman and we give him a Batman role and he'd probably kill it. It's probably not that hard of a thing to do.
He has a good sarcastic way. I feel like his character in The Martian, like the way he has a lot of sarcastic smarts and stuff, that may line up well with a Batman.
Yeah, that would be okay.
What about this potential Batman? Almost Captain America himself, John Krasinski.
Okay.
So, I don't think it would work, but I'm laughing at the idea of it.
I think he could probably do a good job, but me as a viewer would still be like, that's Jim from The Office. Because like everything he's in, I'm like, that's Jim from The Office. He's cursed his entire career.
Which is crazy because he's now this like, I mean, he was always a good looking dude, but he is a suave looking dude. He is jacked now.
Yeah.
Like he is yoked out, but he still looks like Jim. Like he's just Jim.
Dude, it's funny going back and watching like the first couple seasons of The Office with his trash ass haircut that was fashionable in like 2006. I can't believe that shit flew back then. Like that was like people actually wore their hair like that in professional environments. It's wild.
His bad hair lasted a long time in that show too. Like I rewatched The Office recently and it lasted past a part where I thought he had already cut it and changed it. It's a bad haircut. We have two more things to hit here. And this is my favorite one of the entire podcast. Pikachu live action casting. They've made their first casting. Justice Smith will play Pikachu's sidekick, his buddy, in the Detective Pikachu movie based off the game about Pikachu being a detective. Here's a nugget that we didn't know. We talked about this a few podcasts ago. They're going to cast somebody in this movie, a big like actor too, The Rock, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds. We thought they were going to cast those people to be alongside Pikachu. No. They're going to cast one of those people to voice Pikachu. And The Rock is still the heavy favorite to voice Pikachu. Is this crazy to you or less crazy ever since you saw this clip that we talked about on the last podcast where Pikachu speaks fluent English in the new movie? Does it make more sense now? Would it work for you? Or like The Rock and Ryan Reynolds voicing Pikachu, is that still strange? Though, the more I think about Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, I kind of like that. I feel like that could work.
Is it just going to be their voice or are they going to run it through a machine like Baby Groot? So it's kind of like, oh, The Rock's in this movie, wink, wink. But it's like The Rock's voice.
See, that I don't know. So now you're asking too many questions. I just know that he would potentially voice Pikachu, which is amazing.
Why, So why are we 20 years out in the Pokemon franchise and just now like getting this talking Pikachu? Why is this the thing now? Like Pikachu, the only thing Pikachu needs to know how to say is Pikachu. That's the thing, or Pika Pika. Like that's what Pikachu does. I don't need the Rock voicing Pikachu. I think this is insane, Max Kellerman. This is preposterous.
I agree. We're going off canon with Pikachu, and I don't like it one bit. And you, like we say, we're pro Rock. So if the Rock wants to voice him, power to him, and I'll watch it and I'll pay good money for it. But if anybody else is going to do it, I'm probably going to say no, because it violates the very core of Pokemon lore to me. So it's offensive.
Actually, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to see this movie.
Even if the
Rock's in it, I'm not going to see the Pikachu detective movie. Trill Ballins doesn't really care.
Well, nothing to do with the Rock. You just don't like the idea of this.
Yeah, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get a guy like the Rock to play Pikachu, to create some buzz, to get a guy like myself to pay money to see this fucking movie. And you know what? I'm not buying into it. I'm smart. I am smart, and I'm not going to do it.
Sure, Trill's a TMNT guy, so he's probably actually a Digimon person anyway.
Yeah, okay. I'm 6, 7, 8 years older than you guys, and you guys are down with Pokemon, but I was aged out. I was already like 15 by that time, and I was doing cooler things like playing Counter-Strike and StarCraft while you guys are doing nerd shit like Pokemon.
I'm actually still kind of pissed off about the fact that this is not just a regular live-action Pokemon movie. Like, I would like just a regular live-action Pokemon movie.
I just want the Rock like just painted yellow, like with Pikachu makeup on. Like, not even CGI, just like the Rock painted in acrylic yellow, just going, Pika, Pika, I got morning wood to chop.
What?
That's what I'm about, Big Mouth.
Oh.
It's strange, and I think, Trill, you might be right. I think it's piggybacking off big actors, whether it is The Rock or Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds. It's just strange. Again, I don't understand why they wouldn't just make a live-action Pokemon movie, but I guess they have other things like making Pikachu speak, which, by the way, is the biggest shocking movie news of 2017. They could come out and have Plagueis or Boba Fett be Rey's parents. Don't give a shit. Pikachu speaking is the craziest thing of the year, by far.
That was so funny. The first time I saw that video, I was like, this is maybe one of the funnier things I've ever seen. Just the pure outrage in the crowd.
I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was like...
I thought it was like a pixelated boat or like Leon-type joke where it's like, oh my God, Pikachu speaks. Or Electro Lemon.
Yeah.
Like one of those...
Electro Lemon, yeah.
Like fake like one of those fake videos.
Insane. I mean, still, I'm still blown away by it. Again, I don't think there's any bigger reveal in a movie this year or in like the last few years. That's absurd. To just heel turn and change something like that is insane. Lastly, since this might be our last real dump, 2017 is coming to a close, obviously. We have just little over a month left of the year. Besides Star Wars, what movies are you most looking forward to here?
I think there's only two other ones besides The Last Jedi I'm looking forward to for the end of the year, and that's Coco and The Post, and that's it. And like everything else, I'm just like kind of lukewarm or don't care about.
Not The Greatest Showman?
The Greatest Showman, that's one thing we should make merch out of. Let's make a paper, like toilet paper, with P.T. Barnum's face on every single like sheet so I can wipe my ass with his dumbass grin.
Wow. Oh, there's going to be P.T. Barnum merch. That I can guarantee you on that one. There will be P.T. Barnum merch.
I think, I'm excited about Coco, first off. And then I'm excited about Downsizing, and I'm excited about The Disaster Artist, and then The Last Jedi. So those are my big four.
I'm excited about Downsizing, even though they already like blew their load on it.
Oh, the big reveal in the trailer?
That pissed me off.
Let's not even mention it, but if you're in a theater and you see the Downsizing trailer come up, walk out of the theater quick, because I don't know why. It had me hooked anyway. Why did they showed a reveal? We won't spoil it here in case you avoid trailers, but they spoil a big plot point in that movie, and it kind of came out of nowhere.
It gave away what the plot was going to be about. Because before that, they had a trailer at the general conceit of the movie, but we had no idea of like what the second and third acts were going to be like. Like now he's small, like what befalls him, and now we know. Like they gave that away.
Like was there some sort of focus group that told them they needed to? Like I'm just so blown away by that. When that happened, just a bummer. Yeah. That really bummed me out. They did that because again, I'm still excited for it, but way to ruin what could have been a great twist that nobody knew.
It would have been on my excited to watch list if they didn't do that in the trailer. I forget which movie I was watching when they showed it. And then right after I saw that, I'm like, well, now I'm not really as excited because I know like one of the major plot drivers for the entire fucking movie. So thanks, guys.
I'm excited for Disaster Artist. Very excited for Disaster Artist, actually. We're going to have a pod where we talk about that and probably mostly The Room. Also excited for Downsizing. Star Wars, obviously. Coco, I'm going to be seeing that on Thanksgiving. Very excited to go to the Thanksgiving Coco showing on Thursday. You know what I'm not excited for, though? And we can talk about movies we're not excited for. Because, you know what? Whatever. Greatest Showman. I'll go see it, obviously, right when it comes out.
Don't pay money, please.
We pay money. We support the film industry.
There's a sucker born every minute. You know who said that?
Well, you'll be paying money to see it. Now I may have to buy your ticket. You may have to ask me to do that. I'm not excited for Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
Not excited for the Daniel Day-Lewis Phantom Thread movie. Something about that movie bothers me so much. It seems so pretentious.
It looks like it looks like a pretentious, like, just fuck fest. Like, it just doesn't look interesting to me at all. It's like,
I'm interested in that.
You're in a pretentious fuck fest of pretentiousism. It's like that movie. What's that thing you were talking about before, The Circle?
Oh, yeah. I rewatched The Circle yesterday. That is one of the worst movies of 2017. And it's just so unfortunate because there's so many good actors and they just, it's a big fart. It's a movie that thinks it's so much smarter than it really is. Yeah, they think they're just really on to something there. And it really isn't. Like, we live in 2017. We know there's some really messed up things about technology and privacy in this world. It's just, it's so stupid.
I watched that with like my 70-year-old dad who loves everything he watches. And like when we got to the point where Tom Hanks was talking about these like little ball circle cameras that like are magic cameras that can be put anywhere and do like 4K full streaming video, like 360 degrees with like no fucking charging. That's when we were both like, we're out. Like, we can't do this movie. Like, you can't mess with the technology like that.
There's nothing happens in that movie either. Like, so much happens, but nothing happens. It's like a big TED talk, the whole movie. Like, they're always on, they're like always doing like Apple presentations. It's such like a meta look at Apple and Google that really isn't meta or smart at all. It's so stupid.
It's like someone, it's like, hey, what if technology was actually bad?
Exactly. It's like, we know. It was based off a book that came out in 2013, which I think in 2013, even then, we know a lot about technology. The book was maybe onto some things then, because a lot's progressed in the last 4 years. But now, to come out with that movie, it's like coming out in 1984 now.
Yeah,
the same arguments about technology have been made for like the last 60 years, though. Like, especially when it comes to like artificial intelligence and like Philip K. Dick. and things of that nature, Max Kellerman. So like, I don't know. I just don't like the pretentious movies because like, we don't need like a movie to tell us technology is bad. Like, every time we log on Twitter, we see what a fucking hellscape it is. And I wish it never existed. And I hate it so much. And I want to delete it, but I just can't because the validation of the likes is just too much for me.
I don't need a movie
to say that.
The addiction lifestyle, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, I mean, to each his own, so.
Be careful with that cough syrup, I'm telling you.
I guess going back to it, I think that's my issue with Phantom Thread. It seems like a movie that's smarter, or it wants to be smarter than it really is. I like a lot of Paul Thomas Anderson movies. I mean, there's so many good ones.
I'm going to make a porn version called Phantom Head. And it's about a guy who gets married and never gets a blowjob again.
No.
Oh god!
I love laughing at my own jokes. That's when you know someone's really a comedian. Is when they just cry, they make themselves crack up because they're such a moron. Phantom Head. Stacy, thought things would be different.
So that's it. That's our movies we're looking forward to and ones we're not. Let us know though what you're looking forward to rest of the year outside of, I think, the obvious one, Star Wars. I think most people are excited for that. Good movies out right now, though. Like I said before, support the film industry. Go to your local theater, namely AMC. AMC, if you're listening, please sponsor us.
Please.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. It's my second favorite movie of the year. Give it a 95 out of 100. Run to go see Three Billboards. Loved Lady Bird. The Florida Project, great movie from the director who made a movie last year or 2 years ago called Tangerine. Awesome, like, realistic look on children, basically, like in their lives. And Willem Dafoe is great in it. It's a very different movie. Fantastic. Also, Call Me By Your Name is coming out with Armie Hammer. And I forget the kid's name, but he's also in Lady Bird. He's in that as well. Those are four great movies. They're smaller movies. They're not sequels, tentpole movies, comic book movies. They're just awesome, great feats of cinema that I think everyone go see those. Again, run to go see those types of movies.
I'm going to try to get to see Lady Bird this week because that's something I really, really want to see.
Again, see Three Billboards if you got in your area, because those, yeah. I mean, Three Billboards. Frances McDormand should win the Oscar for Best Actress.
And I think Saoirse Ronan probably will.
Yeah, I think she will too. And I think Saoirse Ronan will be coming up pretty close with Lady Bird as well.
I still can't pronounce her name. Like, I know you just said it, Saoirse.
Saoirse Ronan.
But every time I see her, Saoirse Ronan.
She has an incredibly thick Irish accent. Oh, and yeah. She is so good at transforming her voice into different accents. She is so good
that's
at an American accent. It's great.
I can't believe that people can do other accents. Like, that's a skill that I wish I had. Like, to do other accents really well. Like, even some of the best actors, like, sometimes stumble on an accent sometimes.
Well, that's part of the problem with The Circle. The Circle has some of the worst accents you'll ever hear. They're so bad. But, yeah, all of them. All Emma of the Watson. Accents are terrible. Emma Watson's is off. John Boyega's is off. And I don't know what it is, but typically their accents are fine. Like, her accent's fine in Perks of Being a Wallflower. John Boyega's accent's fine in Star Wars. He's an American accent.
Detroit was accent.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, it's another one. Very strange. Like, almost like they knew the movie wasn't great, and they just were like, ah, whatever.
He had a perfect Detroit accent. You know, the classic Detroit accent we all know and love?
Yep. He has a classic Star Wars accent, too. I mean, definitely go see them. I know we like talking about bad movies and big-time blockbuster movies, but the little movies a lot of people have reached out about, they want to hear us talk about them more. And this is what I think we're going to try to do with more, you know, YouTube reviews and video reviews and stuff like that. Because, again, we want to give you guys more of an immersive experience. Want to be the alternative to Rotten Tomatoes. Come to us for our ratings.
We'll tell you personally that you're a big, dumb baby with a bad opinion, other than letting the critics on Rotten Tomatoes do it.
Yeah, you don't want some nerd telling you how to feel about a movie, do you? That's what Rotten Tomatoes is. About a couple hundred nerds telling you how to feel about a movie. Come let the cool guys, the movie boys, tell you how to feel about
a movie.
Big shot movie. We got Jeff Lowe, who has a sick ass haircut and is definitely not a nerd. And you got Ken Jack who has a Fu Manchu and is definitely not a nerd. It looks like Henry Cavill is just very handsome. So. You got Trill Ballins, who was great at Counter-Strike and loves to play RPGs like Final Fantasy, is definitely not a nerd.
All right, lay in the fact that you got a Yeti cooler and a Patagonia. You're pretty cool.
Yeah, Trill's pretty cool.
We're reviewing Justice League this week. There will be a spoilers, non-spoilers section. We won't do what we did last week because Justice League has a lot of spoilers. So go see Justice League. We're going to review that. And then we're going to have a bit of a heel turn here. We're not going to do what I mentioned in the podcast last week. We're not going to talk about movies that either disappointed us, let us down, or surprised us. We're going to talk about guilty pleasure movies. So movies that we like that most people don't like. Probably list off about five each. We'll riff off that and discuss. And we're going to make a Google form for you to fill in movies that you like that most people don't like to see what a lot of people say. So that's going to be the main part of the podcast this week. The week after, I'm not going to go through the whole schedule, but just to get an eye on what you want to watch in the next few weeks. The week after, we're going to review Coco and talk about best Disney movies and try to find a way to see these three movies. Wolf Warrior 2, Dragon Blade, and The Great Wall. One is an American movie, I think, that just has settings in China, The Great Wall with Matt Damon. But the other two are Chinese action movies, Dragon Blade and Wolf Warrior 2. We have a guest coming on. We're talking about those movies and some foreign movies. I'm excited for that podcast. And so make sure you go watch those movies because I think it'll help the process of listening to the pod if you've seen them. But if not, it's still going to be good.
You do not need to see Wolf Warrior 1 to know what's going on in Wolf Warrior 2. Just
Wolf Warrior 2 made like 5 billion yen in China.
Yeah, it's like the most popular movie of all time in China.
So you need to see it. And Dragon Blade has like John Cusack and Adam Brody. It's really weird. Yeah. Which we haven't watched yet. We have copies. We'll be watching them very soon. But Dragon Blade has John Cusack and Adam Brody in it.
I'm a huge Cusack fan because we both suffered from the same small mouth syndrome.
And Jackie Chan. Small mouth syndrome.
John Cusack, small mouth syndrome. It's got very small mouths. Makes us look very punchable.
This is why you love the Ninja Turtles again.
Oh man,
it's all coming from
John Cusack's not in the Ninja Turtles.
No, the big to small mouth thing.
Oh yeah, I love
the fantasy about the big mouth. Yeah.
I love their roomy cheeks. Okay,
Ken Jack, we're glad to have you back. Glad you're okay.
I'm alive, and you'll never get away with making shitty opinions on here again without me chastising you.
Be careful with that prescription drug stuff you got, though. It's not a joke. Although you need it right now. You look miserable.
That's not a sound effect. He's really unscrewing the cap into the mic.
It's hard. My hands are really sweaty from freaking stupid.
I don't condone this. Like, please be responsible. It's just a Maker's Mark bottle at this point. It's got a big wax seal on it. We don't pirate movies, we don't pirate drugs. I'm telling you, if I'm going down, it's going to be for downloading fucking Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Oh, boy. For Ken Jack, it's Jeff Lowe. This has been Real Dump. We'll talk to you later in the week for our main pod.
The all-new Whoop is here, now more advanced than ever. Train smarter, sleep deeper, recover faster. Extend your healthy years. Understand your cycle phases. Now 7% smaller with 14 plus days of battery life. So your data never stops, and neither do you. Power your best performance with memberships made for every goal. Join Whoop today.